That's the Boxcar Boys with Baby Don't You Tear My Clothes from their 2015 album Cicada Ball. And they're one of the acts coming to this year's Millrace Festival of Traditional Folk Music. It takes place in the beautiful and historic downtown core of Galt in Cambridge, Ontario, the weekend of July the 29th to 31st. And there are always some wonderful, wonderful acts to check out in a variety of different places. And to learn more about this year's festival, we're going to talk to Artistic Director Brad McEwen. So tell us about this year's festival. You have a very interesting lineup. And this is a phrase that I probably overuse on this show, but there certainly seems to be something for everyone in this year's program as far as traditional music is concerned. So I'm going to hand it over to you. Tell us what people can expect if they come out to the Millrace Festival this year.
Well, we stuck to our programming for the last 24 years and sticking to traditional forms of music from a variety of cultures, and that includes new music written in traditional styles, like making sure that the genre continues to be relevant and continues to evolve without losing the characteristics that make it what it is. There are about four acts coming from the UK. The rest are primarily Southern Ontario performers. We cover everything from old-time Americana to Ontario fiddling and step dancing, to Turkish music, to flamenco, to Portuguese fado, and other, you know, Greek and Arabic music. So, you know, there's a real variety of different styles, but again, within the traditional genre.
Well, we started off with the Boxcar Boys. They are a fun band, as you mentioned, from Southern Ontario. The neat thing is that they're a band that can always get people into the right spirit to enjoy the music.
The Boxcar Boys are really good. They're very lively. They cross some boundaries because they're like old-timey pre-World War II But they're also reflecting a lot of Eastern European styles of music. It's an area that hasn't been explored by an awful lot of people in exactly the way that they do. But every time that I've seen them, they've always just been, you know, really very, very pleasant, very engaging and captivating, and just. They're, in a way, though, they're very, very different from groups like Shisham Lotus and Sun or the Everlovin' Jug Band. They sort of fit vaguely and largely into that kind of a category that is, you know, with the way they dress on stage and the fact that they have a wonderful stage presence. So I thought it was high time that they came along.
And what about some of the other bands that are from Southern Ontario that will be on the program this year?
Well, like I said, the vast majority of them are, and there are 30 different acts. Four of them are Morris dancers. Another four are children's acts. So there's certainly you know, lots for the family stage. Like I say, the Southern Ontario acts range from everything from flamenco to old-time Ontario. I mean, Celtic music. You know, it's hard to know where to begin. Frog and Henry, for instance, are a very, very popular band, again, in that kind of Everlovin' Jug Band, Shishman Lotus mold, using a lot of things like fiddle and brass instruments and... again, very lively, very entertaining, really get people going. You've got people like The Shots, who are excellent, sort of, I guess, basically kind of old-timey bluegrass. But then we've also got Ann Letterman and Ian Bell. I've never had the two of them together at Milray's Festival before. And, you know, both of them are really iconic performers. And amongst the many things that they have done, I don't think I know anybody, any other performer that has ever done so much for traditional music from Canada, particularly traditional music from Ontario. It's one of the things that I really want to try to promote more of, because there are so many people, so many young performers that are into traditional music, but it might be old-time American music. It might be music from the British Isles, and they know nothing about traditional music that comes from this province. It is there. It's harder to find. There's not quite as much of a living tradition, but nobody that in my acquaintance knows anything more about it than Ann Letterman and Ian Bell.
Something that people definitely need to check out when they come to this year's festival. You mentioned that there are four bands, I think, or four performers coming from the UK. We're going to play one of them at the end of this interview, but tell us a little bit about those.
Well, we've got Alex Cumming and Nicola Beasley, the two young performers that I saw at the Bromyard Folk Festival in the UK last September. Again, he's a piano accordion player, she's a fiddler. They both sing. They're one of the examples of young performers that are taking traditional English music and really helping, well, revitalizing. There's a whole generation of people that have been just really doing wonderful things with it. And then we have Discovery, who are a couple from Stroud in Gloucestershire, which is my other home. Jeff Gillett is an excellent guitarist, and his wife Elaine, both very, very good singers. And we have Martin and Sean Grabe, who are from Cirencester in the UK, and they're incredibly knowledgeable, both a cappella singers with an amazing array of songs. Martin's also the president of the Traditional Song Forum in England. Then, of course, we have Cupola Ward, and Cupola being composed of Sarah Matthews, Doug Jensen, and Ollie Matthews, who've been to the festival various times, but they're joined by Lucy Ward. So this is the first time the four of them have come together, and it's always a delight having Doug and Sarah and Ollie here, you know, at any time.
And Lucy Ward is an amazing performer. I know I've played her a few times on this show. I'm certainly a big fan of her solo stuff. They've just released an album, Bluebell, which they will be basically debuting at the festival this year. We're going to finish with a track from them. But it must be exciting for you to be able to bring people who are coming together like this, but, you know, are not just keeping traditional music alive, but also bringing something new to it.
Yes, well, it's absolutely necessary because, you know, it's not a museum piece, and it shouldn't ever be a museum piece. But the difficulty, I think, is being with traditional music is that it needs to evolve in such a way that it maintains the elements that that define it and to keep the integrity of the music. And so it's a little bit more challenging. People have tried to do all kinds of things with it artificially to impose on it from outside, and it just doesn't work. It has to grow organically.
Now, you mentioned that as well as the music, there's also dance, there's going to be workshops. And then one of the nice things about this festival is the fact that it does take place on stages at different parts of Cambridge. Do you want to talk about the other aspects that make this a great festival for people to come to?
Well, the one thing probably is that it's free. And that's, you know, and being that it's free allows me to not have to rely on headliners. I don't have to worry about, you know, paying, you know, extortionate fees to hire people who are going to sell more tickets. I have the luxury of being able to hire who I want to. If I find a performer that nobody's heard of, but I think is really good, then I can give that person an opportunity. And I think there needs to be more of that, because Southern Ontario has a wealth of exceptional performers, but definitely not enough places for them to be able to get out and do what they do. But the one thing I have to say when you're talking about the things that make this festival different and special is the fact that it is set entirely within the downtown core of Galt, the Galt portion of Cambridge. And the inspiration for this was a number of festivals I've been to in the UK years ago, where they have their events within walking distance in the heart of a historic and architecturally significant town center. Well, we have that. In addition, we've got this beautiful amphitheater built in the ruins of a stone textile mill that was pulled down in the early 80s and made this fantastic, wonderful setting for performances. And for me, it's very special because my mother used to work in that textile mill. So it's even more poignant. But the stages are all, again, set within walking distance. When people buy a program, they can find out who's playing where and when, but they also get a map that shows them where everything is. And I think the fact that it's accessible price-wise because it's free is accessible because it's in a town center. So if you don't have a car, you don't have any means of transportation, you can get there. Most of the venues are accessible to people that have mobility issues. The ones that aren't are private, like that are pubs or restaurants that we partner with, and we have no control over any of that. But the majority of the venues are going to be accessible because they're public spaces.
It certainly promises to be another wonderful weekend in Cambridge. If people want to learn more about the festival, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to our website, and they can also check out our Facebook page. Within a few days, I'd say we will, by the end of this week, we hopefully will have programs out at advanced sales locations. It's very important for people to know that because this is a free festival and is entirely run by volunteers, none of us get paid, we don't even have an office, it's really important that, you know, we sell the program, so they cannot get the performance schedule online. They, in order to do that, they have to buy a program, which are $5 or 28-page programs, and we will have a list of advanced sales locations on our website probably by the end of the week, and we will get them to as many places within the Tri-City and Guelph area as we can. And failing that, they'll be available at every one of the information booths at our festival on the weekend.
The website for the Millrace Folk Society is millracefolksociety.com. Brad, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you about the festival, and I love the passion that you bring to supporting and growing this type of music. We're going to finish with Coppola Ward with a live version of Damped in His Groove from their debut album, Bluebell. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
This morning take for